Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, October 22nd. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in Bill's story, and we're on page 12. The fifth paragraph down begins with, "Thus was I convinced." And it ends with, "A new world came into view," and we'll be studying that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Pat G., the 12 Traditions, Karen W., and readers of the text are Leslie W., Brandy M., and Shelley E. The share ID for yesterday, Wednesday, October 21st, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 15,592. That's 15592. And for Thursday, this morning's meeting, October 22nd at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 15,601. That's 15601. Our newcomer greeter today is Kaylee R., and our announcements person is Robin P., so stay tuned at the end of the meeting for that. Our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Pat G. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. This is Pat G. from Arizona. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. The 12th step, number one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for having me serve.
Well, thank you, Pat G. And I will now ask Karen W. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Mo. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you all for your service, and I'll pass.
Well, and thank you, Karen W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone again. And that's the star 1 button, not the mute button on your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in Bill's story on page 12. The fifth paragraph down begins with, "Thus was I convinced," and I will ask Leslie W. to get us started. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Leslie W., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. "Thus I was convinced that God is concerned with us humans when we want Him enough. At long last, I saw, I felt, I believed. Scales of pride and prejudice fell from my eyes. A new world came into view." So I read this and I think about the last part of this, the first sentence here, which it says, "I was convinced that God is concerned with us humans when we want Him enough." So that just tells me that there is a role for me to play. There is a part for me to play. There is an action for me to take. You know, I have to, in order for me to have a relationship with God, I have to want to have a relationship with God. It's up to me to pursue that. And, you know, I think that it's very difficult to pursue a relationship with an entity or a deity when you're angry with them, which I was. And not only was I angry with God when I came into program, but I was pretending not to be angry with God. I was angry, but pretending to not to be angry. And so I ate. I ate to quiet that internal frustration with myself, with life, with people, with you name it, you fill in the blank. Really, the only reason for me that when I look back on it, on all those times that I hurt myself with food, was because I just wanted to feel better. And I thought that would make me feel better. I didn't know how to have a relationship with God. All I knew how to do was blame God for all the bad stuff in my life that had happened to me. So something has to break. The dam has to break for all of us. And that's what's happening here. You know, that icy intellectual mountain, that icy exterior contempt prior to investigation, all of that is breaking for Bill at this point. And the same thing had to happen to me. With that, I think I'm going to pass. Thanks, Mel.
All right. Thank you very much for getting us started, Leslie. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared in the last few days, we ask that you wait and let others share today. So I will take the names of those who'd like to share today.
Deb E.
Deb, did I hear?
Deb E.
Okay, thank you.
Marilyn K.
Marilyn K. Anyone else? Being quiet today.
Marty J.
Marty J. Thank you, Marty. Now's your time. Press star 1 to unmute. If not, we'll start with those three. I have Dev E., Marilyn K., and Marty J. Good morning, Dev.
Good morning. This is Dev E. calling recovered in Israel. And I'm so grateful to be on the line today. It's my third day in a row trying to get to this meeting, and between not being able to get on and then not being able to unmute. It's really nice to be on with you guys. So it's good. It got me to really focus in on the entire fast and do some extra writing this week. I've every word in this little paragraph has really stood out to me. So this, you know, when we want him enough, that really speaks to me. I've really noticed the difference when I pray for guidance from my higher power, and something in the back of my mind tells me that either the help won't come, or it's too big an ask, or just something won't work. And it usually doesn't work out. But when I pray wholeheartedly and I really believe that higher power has my back and is behind me and will help me, it works. And that made me think of that. And then at long last, I saw, I felt, I believed. It's like, how many years did I spend kind of fighting what my intuition was always telling me, that I did have a higher power I could lean on. And then scales of pride and prejudice fell from my eyes. That makes me think of letting go of old beliefs. All the old beliefs that I had before program, the lies I would tell myself, all the delusions, all of that got to fall away when I started working the steps. And it's taken years for different layers to fall away. It didn't all happen at once. It took a lot of time and a lot of work. And then the last few words, a new world came into view. This program has given me a whole new perspective on life and a whole different view of what my role is and what my purpose is and living on, like in seeking out the spiritual world, as opposed to just, you know, basing all my decisions on appearance and self-image and food and what it looks like and all my character defects. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Deb. I'm glad you finally got on. Marilyn K., followed by Marty J. Good morning, Marilyn.
Hello, this is Marilyn K. from Beaverton, Oregon. And I think things just fell into place today. Generally, I'm listening to the meeting, plus helping my husband as a care partner. He has Parkinson's disease. And I usually don't have the time to be able to talk, so things went smoothly. So I thought, okay, this is a sign from God that you're telling me it'd be good for me to share. I don't have a lot to share. This paragraph does mean a lot to me because it brings back 7 years ago when I returned to Overeaters Anonymous. I was struggling, and my A1C level was up, and I just knew I needed help to stop eating certain foods. And so after I ate more than and ate things that I shouldn't have, I came back to my room and I sat and I prayed to God and I said, I need your help. I can't do it. From then on, it seems like I'm not perfect by any means, but as long as I turn to God and say, I need your help and get out of my ego, God does help me. And I asked God this morning to say the words that may help somebody else. So I mostly just wanted to share that it does work if we get out of the way, because I'm a proof of that. And I've been able to pretty much maintain my weight for 7 years and be able to hit my A1C is down. And it's all because I was able to let go to God. Thank you for having the opportunity to be able to share, and I will pass.
Well, thank you, Marilyn Clay. Before I go to Marty J., let me tell everybody where we're at. We're in Bill's story on page 12, the fifth paragraph. It starts with, thus was I convinced, and after Marty J., I'll take some more names. Good morning, Marty.
Hi, good morning. This is Marty J. I'm from Torrance, California. Glad to be here, and thank you, everyone, for your service. It's been a long time since I shared on this call, and like others said, I've been wanting to unmute, but I often don't get it done right. So anyway, I'm just really glad to be here and to be able to share about this paragraph. I liked how somebody else said about being convinced. You know, the word convinced, I don't know that that was ever a problem for me. I intuitively, or I don't know, I guess I just always felt I had a connection with God. I was raised in a particular faith and bounced around to other denominations of that same faith. But I guess I always had a power struggle with God, that he could really do for other people but couldn't really do for me. So because I was good, I was a faithful believer in God, and so I'm okay, God, you don't need to worry about me. I'll play the martyr over here. So I don't know, I think that's been a lifelong struggle. And but when you need him enough, and I would say a moment where I needed him enough was about 11 years ago when I almost lost my daughter to a horrible brain injury. And in that moment, I know that feeling of, at long last, I saw, I felt, I believed. There was no moment more in my life than I surrendered in that moment. Now, how do I carry that with me for the rest of my life to be able to continue to surrender? Well, I keep circling back to my program, and I do that every day through routine and discipline, which I don't have in my human nature. I don't want to be disciplined. I I want to hide or ignore or have somebody else. And but there's a part of me that knows that there's something greater, better, holier, godly in me that can keep coming back to the loyalty that I feel towards God. So the scales of pride have to keep coming off of my eyes every day. I have to keep doing the action to let that go, to let the prejudice fall from my eyes, to let people be who they want to be, and let myself figure out who I am and how I work, and to stop people pleasing and to stop turning to food when things don't go right. And that's just a daily struggle. And I'm so grateful that in this very strange and interesting world that we live in, that the new worldview that I have is one that includes this program. And I wake up every morning to be able to listen to these calls. And I thank you so much for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Marty J. And so I'm now going to open the lines up for those who'd like to share. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the past few days, I'll take your names.
Manda T.
Manda?
Yes, T as in Tom.
Okay, I got it. Manda T, who was after you?
Janice K.
Janice K.
Sue M.
Sue, I heard a Sue. Did I hear a Sue? Nope.
Brandy.
Brandy. Okay, I got you, Brandy.
Felicia G.
Who was that? Felicia? Was that a Felicia?
Yes.
Felicia. Felicia, what's your last initial?
D.
D, okay. Anyone else?
Mary G.
Mary G. All right, we'll stop there. I have Manda T, Janice K, Brandy M, Felicia D, and Mary G. So we'll start with Janice K. Good morning, Janice.
Hi. I think there was someone ahead of me in line, but...
Oh, yeah, there was. I am sorry. Manda.
Okay.
Manda T. You're right, Janice. I my eyes were cuckoo. All right, Manda. We're going to put you on.
All right. Thank you. This is Manda T. I'm a grateful overeater from New Hampshire. And this is the first time I've spoken on the line. And I'm really, really grateful to be here. And I'm grateful for all the shares of everybody I've heard. And also for the program vision itself, for the people who really make this all happen. It's really wonderful. A great, great resource with a lot of rich wisdom in it. And this paragraph is such a small paragraph, and yet it is so, so very powerful, you know, as I sit there and look at it. And you know, I look at this and I think about how I was struggling in my marriage. It was kind of a dark place for me. And, you know, where it says here, you know, when we want him enough, you know, I was just in a place where, you know, I was kind of throwing up my hands and you know, didn't know what to do, just the end of the rope with that. Because, of course, I was a great fixer and could control all those things. And this was something that I just lost all hope. And where it says the scales of pride and prejudice fell from my eyes. You know, I had an experience because I was praying for help, you know, and I had a moment where, and this has only happened to me once and it's never happened to me again, and where I felt like I got very warm all of a sudden, and like there was this peach light all around me, almost like a sunrise, very soft, warm, just the perfect temperature all around me. And, you know, it was just a moment where I went from this turmoil to just this like peace. And in that moment too, the thing that happened for me is I had this overwhelming vision or understanding of how very good, you know, God was and how he permeated all things is the best way I can describe it. And when I see that scales of pride and prejudice fell from my eyes, that really speaks to me because I had a lot of pride. I came from a family that, you know, my dad was a congregational minister, and I felt like I'd done the religion thing. You know, I'd been influenced by it my whole life. I went through some periods in my teens where I questioned it. You know, I was open and listened to a lot of different faiths, and then I had come to a point where I understood God, you know, and I felt like I had it. And I was prejudiced against a lot of different things that I had kind of written off or discounted, and experiences that other people had and things that were important to other people. And that kind of fell away, you know, that pride and that prejudice against, you know, the way other people experience God. And I came to have this feeling that, you know, religions were kind of like a prism, you know, and we're drawn to them because of you know, the goodness that's in them. And yet, you know, we see them from only from our vantage point, you know. And that was when I became, I feel like I opened up and I came much more open. And that's when my program really turned around, because I was teachable again. And I think that's so important, to be teachable and to be open and not let my own beliefs limit me. And I guess I heard time. And so yes. Thank you so much for letting me share. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Glad to have you, Amanda. Amanda T. Janice K. followed by Brandy M.
Okay. Hi, this is Janice K. in Oregon. What strikes me here are the scales of pride and prejudice fell from my eyes. A new world came into view. Oh, this is the point at which Bill glimpses the mountaintop. And there are many of us out there who have mountaintop experiences. The problem is you don't get to live there. You have to go back down into the alley and or into the valley. And you have to work your way back up. Nobody, unfortunately, oh, it would be so nice if I could just live on the mountaintop, where I hear all the clouds are pink and nobody ever has to work really, really hard. I think that, okay, surrender becomes a lifestyle, not an act. I've done a little reading on step 12. Step 12 in the OA 12 and 12, I know we like to stick to big book, but it does say that many of our members are angry with God. The thing is, we keep talking with him. A very smart person once said, don't lie to God. That's the first rule for effective prayer. Don't lie to God. Don't lie to yourself either, which is so easy in terms of wanting to believe my version of reality is the only one. And I have found that life is a storm and God has the only good umbrella. It's my job to stay under the umbrella. And I know what happens when I step out from under the umbrella. I get wet. The wind hits me. It gets cold. I get miserable. I am very, very motivated to stay close to my higher power and stay under the umbrella. When I was in high school, which was a long time ago, I listened to the evening news, and a popular black leader was talking to some black high school students, and I was in high school, so I listened. And he said to them, remembered it over the years because it struck so home with me. What he said was, no one but you will ever do anything for you except you. Oh, God has had a time with that line and the way I have chosen to incorporate it into my life. I said once on the lines that I never made food, my God. I was the one who had to take care of things. I was the one I could trust. So I have learned not to do so. Living under God's umbrella is a completely different situation. Thank you for listening. I pass.
And thank you very much, Janice K. Brandy M., followed by Felicia D. Brandy.
Good morning. It's Brandy M., recovered compulsive eater in Alberta, Canada. This paragraph is short, but it's mighty. Thus was I convinced that God is concerned with us humans when we want him enough. So many years I didn't want him enough. I was self-will run riot. I still thought that I could continue to run the show and that things would continue to be okay. And I was wrong. You know, I didn't know that I needed God in order to be well. Food was my biggest convincer of that. You know, if I didn't need him enough in those points where I was, you know, relapsing, I was never going to know it because I was so clouded. I was so clouded by the food. And so when, you know, I needed to take every single bite that I took in order to become convinced that maybe I needed something more than me, maybe I lacked power. You know, I didn't want to believe that for so long. And, you know, I do want God enough today. And food, you know, that gift of desperation is what convinces me of that. And I don't forget what it was like because it was horrible. And then, you know, then what it took is for me to see it in other people. It was like, okay, well, you know what? All of these people are saying that, you know, God or higher power or whatever it is for you. I don't know what it is. I just know that it works. And I don't get too caught up in trying to figure it out or trying to know because it doesn't matter. You know, I know that I pray in the morning. I know that I sit down with my buddy all day long and I talk to him and, you know, and then at night I say thank you and it's working. So I don't need to know the intricate parts of what God is. But I needed to see that in somebody else before I would believe, before it would, you know, ring true for me. I needed to see the evidence, and I saw the evidence in my fellows, and you know, thank you God that people went before me to show me that, you know what, this works, this idea works. And you know, and so I started to feel, I started to believe. And you know, it says here, scales of pride and prejudice fall from my eyes. I was so prejudiced because I thought I knew everything. I didn't, you know, I remember saying, yeah, okay, guys, God's going to do for me what I can't do for myself. That's a bunch of shit. And that's the kind of attitude that I brought to the table, you know, because I was the compulsive overeater who knew everything. And didn't you know? And so, you know, once I became unblocked, the food was blocking me. And then, you know, the scales from my eyes started to become more clearer and clearer and seeing that, wait a minute, I was wrong. And today my biggest thing is that I love when I can say, you know what, I don't know. And so with that, it's 3 minutes and I'll pass. Thanks.
Perfect. Thank you, Brandy M. Felicia D., followed by Mary G. Good morning, Felicia.
Good morning, Felicia, compulsive overeater. This paragraph is so much. It's just kind of amazing to me that you can have such a small period of writing and have so much packed into it. So I thought that God was concerned with me. I did believe that, but I had a real disconnect, almost like a severed cord in my ability to have conception that it could have any, he could help me with my food. I really like what the last person said about what their higher power is. Like, that is a trap for me that I just don't need to go down. I just need to know that there is one, and it can be a God of my own understanding, a higher power of my own misunderstanding. I just know that since I've been willing to do this, since I've been willing to follow the suggestions, it is working, and the compulsion and the obsession is being lifted since July. I just didn't think that was even possible, even having been here before. I didn't think it was possible to actually have moments where I live my life and not think about how not to eat or how to eat. You know, I spent a lot of time in OA trying to figure out how not to eat and fighting that temptation, and to just have it removed is so miraculous to me. A new world is coming into view for me. Like, I started doing this afraid that it wouldn't work, but with nothing else to lose. Like, there was nowhere else for me to go, so I became willing to try, even though each day I'm realizing more that I didn't really think that it was going to work for me because it hadn't in the past. And doing it the vision way, doing it this way, it is working. And it's like my brain is starting to catch up for that and starting to see this new world. Like when I get, and it's not even just the food, like my coworker did something, I was annoyed, and I wanted to tell my other coworker, and then immediately I thought of my fourth step, and I thought about gossiping and character assassinating and judging and being selfish and where am I at fault. And so suddenly it wasn't so appealing to go to my coworker and gossip, and I just asked God to help and did the, you know, just prayed about it. This is such a different way of life for me, and the only way to do it is to be much closer. I come from other 12-step programs. I thought I knew a lot about the steps, and I've worked them for decades. But to be able to do this with the food and to not be in the food and working the steps is a completely different experience for me. I guess that's maybe another level of the onion. But this is just such a wonderful way to be going through it. I'm so, so grateful. And I definitely have hope and excitement. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Felicia D. And before I take Mary G., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're in Bill's story on page 12, the fifth paragraph. And it starts with, "Thus was I convinced." We're just studying that one paragraph only. And after Mary G., I'll be able to take more shares. Good morning, Mary. Mary, press star 1 to unmute. Can't hear you. I hear something. Mary? Well, if we can't get Mary, then I'm going to open the lines up for more people who would like to share. Anyone else like to share on this?
Beach Sam?
Who was that?
Sue M.
Sue M.
Madeline P.
Madeline P.
Karen W.
Maggie B.
Wait a minute, Marilyn P. Who was that one after Marilyn P?
Maggie B.
Maggie B. And who was after her?
Karen W.
Joan?
Karen W.
Oh, Karen W. There you go. Sorry, I got it. Okay, let's stop there. I think I'll be able to get you all. Sue M., Madeline P., Maggie B., and Karen W. All right, let's start with Sue M.
Hi, thank you. This is Sue M. from Central California. I've never shared on the line before, so I'm nervous, and if I struggle, that's why. This paragraph was really, really important to me. The place where it says, if we want him enough, I've my whole life I've had this feeling like I was trying to open the door to God, but I couldn't. Somebody's unmuted. But I couldn't keep it open. I just was struggling, and I could not keep it open, and I really didn't know why. And I think it was ego. I think it was my need to control. Coming into this program, I was allowed to define who my higher power was. And as soon as I did that, that was my spiritual awakening. I realized there was no reason why I should be struggling to keep the door open to my higher power. The God of my understanding was everything that I loved and everything that I wanted and everything that I needed. This program is amazing to me because not only did I find abstinence and get neutral around food, I became a more spiritual person, and I finally had a spiritual path that I could follow and that made sense to me. where before, I think my ego was in the way. I could only find fault. what a gift. I guess with this program, I did want it enough. I did want my higher power enough. And the gifts keep on coming. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Sue M. Glad to have you on the line. Madeline P., followed by Maggie B. Good morning, Madeline.
Good morning. Thank you to everyone who's given service, and thank you to all the previous speakers. You're helping me so much. I am just coming back, and I am full of pride that I've done this and I know how to do this. And, you know, I don't. I'm really, really lost. And every sentence of every paragraph is like an insight to me. The word pride to me, I'm so prideful. I keep thinking I can do this without going to meetings, without praying, without asking for help. And there's a little part of me that knows that's wrong. But the truth is, I'm just lost. And I appreciate everybody who's telling their truth because it's helping me get closer to what may be my own. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Madeline P. Maggie B., followed by Karen W.
Good morning. This is Maggie B. in California. I'll be pretty short. I found a picture of myself, old enough. So I was a baby, old enough to be sitting up, you know, probably when your spine is strong enough. And underneath it, it says, the boss. And I am a boss, you know, in my job. But what took me and is still taking me, what I heard this morning and then previous share today was that I had to be reminded by listening to you guys that I am not the boss. And it is such a relief to be reminded that I am not the boss in my life because, man, I really was messing it up. I had to listen for maybe a year to you guys online to believe that there was a higher power that was also interested in helping me and that I could turn it over. And every day I have to turn it over because I want to take it back because, you know, I'm the boss. I've been the boss since I was a baby. But to be able to just give it up and not keep all those balls in the air and just trust, you know, with all of the crap that's going on, you know, in the world, to be able to be here, and I tell people every day, I'm so glad I'm doing a 12-step program because I would just be out there, you know, just probably in a loony bin. I just don't know how I would manage, but to just know that I can turn it over, it's all going to be okay. And you guys, I want to thank you so much for everybody that shows up and has shown up over the years and laid this foundation and is still laying it. And if you're new, please come back because if I can turn it around, anybody can. And I have to turn it around every day. And I appreciate hearing that it doesn't happen all at once. It's work and it's layers and layers that come off. And I so appreciate everything that you guys have done and that I did find my way here. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Maggie B. Karen W., you're up.
Hi, good morning, everybody. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And I was convinced that God is concerned with us humans when we want him enough. We've been watching a lot of nature shows lately, and I am always amazed at how animals or whatever it is in nature just have this instinct to know what to do. You know, they know how to take care of themselves and take care of their young. And I don't believe any of that stuff is by accident. You know, my boyfriend will say that it's evolution, you know, whatever it is that he says, and I'll say, yeah, well, I don't think so. I think that there's a creative intelligence behind that. So if these animals know how to manage their lives, how do they instinctively know that? Because there is a creator who somehow instills that in them. And someone shared before about not having to figure out about God, just to know that it works. So So if he cares about the animals and all of that other stuff and the trees and all that, why would he not care about me? And then I look around and I see other people who have recovered, and it's like, how did that happen? And now that I'm recovered and I'm finding so many changes, positive changes in my life and in my attitudes and in my relationships, and I know that that's not of me. It couldn't have been of me. So when somebody says, you know, how did you get abstinent? It's like, don't know. I didn't do it. You know, God did it. But he is doing for me every single day what I can't do for myself. And like everyone else has shared, thank you all for your service, and I'll pass.
All right, Karen W. Well, we have time for maybe two shares, 2.5 minutes each. Would anybody else like to share on this line? We're on page 12, fifth paragraph down. Starts with, thus I was convinced.
Olga F.
Olga F.
Georgie.
And Georgie. All right, Olga, you're on.
Good morning. I love the part where it says when we want him enough. I do want God enough. And, you know, sometimes, well, no, quite often, I think I'm not doing enough. I'm not meditating right. I'm not meditating enough, not long enough. I start comparing my program and my spiritual practices to your practices. And, you know, you're doing the 11th step better than I'm doing my 11th step. You know, and I just feel like I'm so undisciplined. I just can't do it right. And I realize that, you know, I believe God blesses my effort. It's all about effort. And God, you know, God meets me where I am. I keep hearing people say that over and over again, you know. And I believe that I was at a crossroads in my life. And I have this neat little plaque that I don't know if any of you remember, the Mary Engelbreit little cards and things. But it says, don't look back. This little girl with a knapsack is standing there at the crossroads. And it says, don't look back. And then it's a fork in the road, and it says, okay, this way is your life, and this way is no longer an option, you know. And I think about something that I've heard Harlan say so many times, and I wish I could do it with his passion, and where he says that if you turn to God and you take a step towards God, he runs to you. I wish I could do it the way he says it, but that he runs to you. And I see myself at that crossroads, and I just need to make the effort, just make the effort to go that way and towards the light. That's my life now, is going towards the light. And this other way is no longer an option. So I'm happy to be here, and thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you, Olga F. And George E., you'll take us out. Good morning, George.
Yes, George E., compulsive eater, Cincinnati, Ohio. Have you heard? Hello?
Hello. Yes, I can.
Well, oh. No.
You're bleeping in
this
and
short
out
paragraph.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead, George.
Well, this short paragraph is I call it the moment of clarity, and I'm truly stunned how Bill can recall that exact moment. You know, all his feelings. So I have to be mindful that, you know, he is writing this probably sometime later. And the language he's using is kind of biblical. So I took scales literally. You know, like the visual for me would be the statue you see outside courthouses with, you know, the blind. Blind woman, I think it is. And, you know, another image I have, though, is from don't be concerned about the speck in your brother's eye, sister, when you have a plank in your own eye. So to me, a scale is not just something to weigh. It's It's something that's blocking, you know, and he says that, prejudice. He uses that word a couple of times in the story. That's all I wanted to share, and everybody have a great day. Thank you.
All right, George, I think you'll take us out because there's only a minute left here. So I want to thank all those who gave service today on the lines and all those who were on the line, all those who shared. And so we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Brandy M. to read a vision for you. Good morning.
Sorry, Mo.
Hi. There you go.
I just dropped my book. And so what
page
is it?
Page 164.
There it is. Sorry.
Okay.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. You will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you safe until then. Thanks.